This is about Five Stones, and I don't know if you remember several speakers, I think Clive was one of them, but have mentioned about David taking Five Stones and when he went to meet Goliath. And the question is always, why Five Stones? See those nice stones there? Well, here's one of them. And I wonder, how did he select them? Did he select them because they were smooth and would fly straight? Or did he select them because they were jagged and they do a lot of damage when they hit? I don't know. And only David knows. But the question is, why did he take five stones? And nobody's ever answered the question for me. We've always sort of said, so why did David take the five stones? Let's just recap. The scripture of David and Goliath is there on the screen, is Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. And we all know the story, and I'm not going to go through it all right now. But we have two characters, and one of them is Goliath. And Goliath's name means exile. He was an exile, like Lucifer was exiled from heaven. And David, his name we know, everybody knows what the meaning of David is. David means beloved. And of course, he's a picture of Jesus, the beloved Son of God. Now, I'm going to do a lot of this, picture and representation of a name and a meaning. And I did want to say at the very beginning that, and I had a Bible teacher who was an expert in this, and one thing, disclaimer he always made is that you'll never make them fit perfectly. They'll look pretty good, the meanings and what you bring out of them, but it'll never be exact. So don't, if I don't get it exactly right, please, it's not me. It's God's the one that gets it exact. I'm just picking up what I can. So anyway, we know the story that David defeated Goliath and won the battle, just the same way that Jesus defeated Satan and won the battle for us. But the point is that the fight still continues. There are still battles in our lives to go through. And I want to suggest to you that there are four more giants, which represents four other battles in our lives that we go through. Now, Jesus won our salvation, that's for sure. But there are other, we face other battles as we go through life. And I want to use these four other giants that were relatives of Goliath's, not necessarily brothers, because one was about 70 years later. And so they were, these four were born to the giant in Gath, if you read in verse 22 of 2 Samuel. And there's a passage in 2 Samuel which deals with these four giants, and there's a parallel somewhere else we'll come to. So these are ongoing battles in our life that, now I don't think that David really wanted to kill the whole four of them at the one time, but let's go on and have a look at this. Now, the first one of them is the giant of pride. Now, I have been looking at this word pride, and pride's a funny emotion. It's one of those ones that's supposedly a good emotion, but it can be bad. And I really wish that they had that we had two different words, one for the good pride and one for the bad pride. I'm proud of my daughter and my grandkids and my great-grandson. Of course I am. And when I see them, my heart just swells with pride. And I think, now, is that what the Bible says I shouldn't be? And I don't think so. I think we need to have a good kind of pride. But there's a bad kind of pride which puts us ahead of God. So about what it boils down to, that when we put ourselves in place of God, that's the pride that gives us a lot of problems. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 5, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, the first giant that we read about in 2 Samuel in that passage is a guy named Ishbi Benob. And Ishbi Benob, his name means the dweller on the mount, or his seat is in high places. So he is a guy that is trying to get ahead of God. Now, Ishbi Benob, it says that he used a new sword because David had taken Goliath's old sword, if you remember right. And so he used a new sword, and he thought he could kill David. And he came there, and he tried to kill David because he was the king of the... Now, do you remember when you were a kid, did you ever play King of the Mountain? Or you might have used a slightly different term, but... And you got up on top of a pile of dirt or a pile of stones or something, and the game was to push you off and so somebody else could be king of the mountain. Did you ever play that? I'm sure you did, because I did. And I was a bit of a weakling as a kid, so I never actually stayed up on top of the mountain for very long. But Ishbi Benob was king of the mountain. And along came Abishai. Abishai was one of David's nephews. His name, by the way, means the father of a gift. And actually, if you Google these names, you'll find quite a different variety of meanings. So, like I said, this is not an exact science, but it's just to give you a picture of what is happening in that place. Abishai killed Ishbi Benob, not in his own strength, but by the strength of God. And so he pulled down the giant of pride. 1 Peter 5:5, did we read something about that before? Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Here's the second giant. The second giant is the giant of worry and fear. Fear and anxiety and worry are like a continuous cycle. They go round and round. And maybe your mind goes round and round late into the night when you're trying to get to sleep and you're worried and you're anxious and you're wondering what is going to happen. That's the worry and fear giant, and we need to slay that, like happened in the scripture too. Where are we? Why pray when you can worry? So many people worry so much, but they forget to pray. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, the giant here is a giant called Saph. And in 1 Chronicles, he's called Sippai. It's the same root word. And it means the fence keeper or the outer rim. And as I said, it's a picture of how fears go round and round and round. They'll get you in, well, they won't get you in the end because Jesus is going to save you. And he was killed by a man named Sibbekai, who was one of David's mighty men. And Sibbekai means God intervenes. You see, God is there to rescue us in every situation. God can break through the fence of our fears and intervene. You know, worry is facing tomorrow's problems today. We're going to have problems today. Don't worry about them tomorrow. I mean, yesterday. And fear is negative faith. So we have faith. We have faith that Jesus is on our side, that he has won our battle. I want to tell you a story. Now, this little squirrel here is the subject of the story. I was in Russia 25 years ago when I first preached this message. And I was actually going into town to preach the message. I was going into a church of about 120 vibrant young people who were mostly new believers, and I was going by train. So I went along to the local railway station. The station is called Sputnik, and most of you know what a Sputnik is. It's a satellite, but this is a satellite station out of town, and it's built up on a big embankment up off the road. And there's a picture of the platform. And this was sort of early in the morning, and the sun was shining like it is there. I was actually on the other side platform from where this photo is. And the sunshine was shining down on the ground about, 8 or 10 metres below the platform. And I was sort of standing there, leaning on the rail, looking over. And down below, on the grass, way down below, was this squirrel. And I'm not sure it's the same one I got a picture of, but the squirrel was down there. And my shadow from the sun, from me, up above, was cast down onto the ground right alongside where the squirrel was. And so I moved my hand. And as I moved my hand, the shadow moved, and I moved it to the squirrel. And the squirrel jumped back. And I chased the squirrel around on the ground with my shadow. Can you believe that? And so God gave me a really wonderful illustration to use in the sermon that I was about to preach about how fear is a shadow. Most of our fears are just shadows. The majority of the things that we fear about and worry about never come to pass. And so, back to my notes, where are we? Lost my place. Philippians says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Oh, there's another scripture. Here we go. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind," from 2 Timothy. Okay, giant number three. How are we going for time? We're good. Giant number three is false gospels. Now, this isn't just the ungodly ones. This is even in the church. You will find that there are some very, very different things being taught than the Bible teaches. I saw a statistic, I wonder if I can find it, on the signs of Jesus' return. And it says the rise of false prophets and false teachings, 83%. Think that that's a sign of the return of Jesus. And we've got that sort of stuff in the church today. 79% said traditional morals are becoming less accepted, even in the church. So there are all kinds of false gospels going around that we need to be careful about. Churches are becoming man-centered instead of Christ-centered. God-centered, and that's what we need to be careful that we keep Jesus in the center of our attentions. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Colossians 2:8. Here's the giant. His name is Lami. Lami means eater of bread, or Bethlehemite, it can be translated. But here is a point. Lami wasn't a Bethlehemite. He had the name Bethlehemite, but he wasn't. He was from Gath. He was a fake, like Donald Trump says, fake news. And so Lami was the next giant that came along. Many people look like Christians, but they're not. And many Christians don't act like Christians at all. So we don't want to be fake news like Lamy was. And along came Elhanan, whose name means God has been gracious. Do you notice the names of these guys that killed the giants all had God and grace and God's ability in their names? They did it by God's strength, not their own strength. He was the son of Jair Origim, and who was a real Bethlehemite. So along came a real Bethlehemite and killed the fake Bethlehemite. There are some tests, and we need to test everything by scripture. But there are three tests that we need to be very aware of. One of them is the character. Is the person or the church's character what the Bible says it should be? Are the actions, do the actions line up with what a godly person should be doing? And do they have the right motives? Measure it by the Word of God. Okay, the number four giant. We're getting there. Slowly, we're getting there. Number four giant is the ways of the world. And Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 2:2. Beautiful verse. And I particularly like the Phillips translation of that, that says, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Don't be squeezed into the ways of the world. Jesus wants us to be molded like him, not to be like the world. Where are we? Okay, this guy doesn't have a name. It just says he was a giant that had six fingers and six toes. And it's a picture of doing and going in man's ways. Doing is the fingers, and going is the toes. So he's a picture of going the wrong way. We were all going the wrong way when Jesus arrested us on our road to Damascus or wherever we were heading, and he turned us around to do and to go where he wanted us, not to do our own thing. We need to be a light to the world, and we need to show God's ways and God's deeds to the world around us. We are the light in the world. There we go. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Where are we? This giant was killed by Jonathan, who was another nephew of David. God has given. See, these are godly men that slayed these giants. We are not of this world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We've overcome the world. And the things of the world, we're not of this world. We're just passing through. And we use the things of the world, the money, the technology. We can't take them with us, but we use them while we're here to bring others with us. And that's exactly why we're here. We could have, closed the doors to the church and gone home and had Sunday off, slept in or something like that. Couldn't you? Would be so easy. But isn't this a lot more fun? I tell you, I have been stretched since lockdown, and doing church on live stream has been quite a journey for me personally, and technology, getting the technology working has been quite a challenge. Now, we've done the four stones, but I want to go back to the first stone. First stone is the one that David took, if you remember right. How about this one? Maybe that was the stone he took. I don't know. You think so? David and Goliath, they met at a place called Ephes Damim. And Ephes Damim means the boundary of blood. And it's a place where there were very many battles, but even apart from the battles and the bloodshed, it had a very red type of soil. And so that's how come it's called the boundary of blood. And this is where they met, at this place. And you can imagine Goliath was saying, this place will be a bloodbath for the Israelites. But God was saying, you will not come any further because of the blood of Jesus. So David took a sling and slung the stone at Goliath. Now, I don't know. I'm sure that David used to sit there looking after the sheep, and he had a bag of stones and it wasn't a bottle on the fence. It was a tree trunk or something he kept aiming at, and he just sat there and just kept on slinging stones just to pass the time while he was caring for the sheep. And he got pretty good and accurate. But I don't know how accurate he was when he slung that stone at David. Goliath. I'm sure he was very nervous. When I get nervous, I get shaky and I click on the wrong buttons and all sorts of stuff. But especially during the song words every morning, I wind up with the wrong verses up. Sorry about that. Even if David's had slung that stone in the wrong direction, I believe that God guided it. And it's like you see in the movies where these heat-seeking missiles get fired out and they chase the target round and hone in and fire in on it exactly. And I think that this was a guided missile, guided by God. Yes, David slung it, but God guided it, and it went straight up and it went straight into the gap in the helmet between the eyes, and it hit Goliath right in the forehead. First Samuel 17:50 says it struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Now, we've had some discussion about that. When was Goliath killed? Was it with the stone or the sword? Now, I think that the Bible pretty clearly says here that the stone struck the Philistine and killed him, and there wasn't a sword in David's hand yet. And you can imagine the situation. There is, let's go back to the picture here. There's Goliath lying on the ground, and David's coming up to him. And on one side, you've got the Philistine saying, hey, Goliath, just lie there a little longer. He's getting closer, and when he gets close, you can grab him. And on the other side, the Israelites were there. David, watch out, he's playing possum, he's going to get you. Well, what happened was, he was dead. And so, therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This second appearance of death was to show the Philistines that their hero was dead. Remember, the deal at the beginning of this fight was that whoever won between Goliath and whoever challenged him, that would be the battle, and the rest of them wouldn't have to fight. Whoever won this little fight was the champion for both armies. And so what happened was, the Philistines lost the battle because their champion was dead. David won the battle, and the Philistines fled in dismay and disarray. The Israelites said, hey, our David has won. We've won. And they all took off after the Philistines and gave them a pretty good trouncing on the way. And it's a picture of how Jesus won the battle for us. And because Jesus has won, we've won. Get that in our heads. Because Jesus has won, we have won. We enter into Jesus' victory because he won for us. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. And this is Jesus, not David. But it's the same scenario, isn't it? We enter into Jesus' victory. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Isn't it wonderful that we can live in victory over all of the giants that come against us? Yes, there's still more giants out there that are going to come against you in your life, but we have the victory because Jesus won for us. And we don't win in our own strength, we win in his. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that Jesus won for us. We thank you, Lord, that when Jesus went to the cross, he defeated all of the enemies. We thank you, Lord, that we can enter into his victory. And whatever comes against us in life, we know that Jesus is always with us. And his victory is true. And all we have to do is enter into it. Be in Christ. It's a mystery how we can be in Christ, but Christ is in us. We thank you, Lord, for your victory, that you lead us and guide us. And Lord, I pray especially for people who are struggling in this lockdown, and that they will be comforted because they know that Christ in them brings the victory in their lives. Help them to overcome every challenge that comes against us. Kill the giants. Bring someone along to kill the giants for them and bring the victory into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.